One day I went to get the ladder from the shed, and the ladder was gone. The boy I didn't like was in the kitchen garden with the rake. I went up to him, scowling. "Where's the ladder?" It was the first time I had spoken to him. He ignored my brusqueness and answered me politely. "Mr. Jojens took it. He's round the front fixing the roof." I helped myself to one of the cigarettes John had left in the shed and smoked it, sending mean looks to the boy, who eyed it enviously. Then I went to find John. The ladder was lying on the ground, its two sections made a crazy clock-hands angle. The metal channel that was supposed to hold them at a constant 6 o'clock had been wrenched from the wood, and great splinters protruded from the gash in the side rail. Beside the ladder lay John. He did not move when I touched his shoulder, but he was warm as the sun that touched his splayed limbs and his blooded hair. He was staring straight up into the clear blue sky, but the blue of his eyes was strangely overcast. The girl deserted me. All of a sudden I was only myself, just a stupid child, almost nothing at all. "What shall I do?" I whispered. "What shall I do?" My voice frightened me. Stretched out on the ground, with John's hand clutched in mine, and shards of gravel digging into my temple, I watched time pass. The shadow of the library bay spread across the gravel and reached the farthest rungs of the ladder. Rung after rung, it crept up the ladder toward us. It reached the safety catch. The safety catch. Why had John not checked the safety catch? Surely he would have checked it. Of course he would. Again and again he'd showed me the safety catch, had me practice moving it into place. But if he did check it, then how? Why? It didn't bear thinking about. Yet how not to think? While I was noticing the whiteness of John's hair, I noticed too the deep grooves cut into the earth by the feet of the ladder as it lurched away from under him. No other signs. Gravel is not sand or snow or even newly dug earth. It does not hold a footprint. No trace to show how someone might have come, how they might have loitered at the base of the ladder, how, when they had finished what they came for, they calmly walked away. For all the gravel could tell me, it might have been a ghost. Everything was cold. The gravel, John's hand, my heart. I stood up and left John without looking back. I went around the house to the kitchen garden. The boy was still there. He was putting the rake and the broom away. He stopped when he saw me approach, stared at me. And then, when I stopped, "Don't faint, don't faint," I told myself. He came running forwards to catch me. I watched him as though from a long, long way away. And I didn't faint, not quite. Instead, when he came close, I felt a voice rise up inside myself, words that I didn't choose to say, but that forced their way out of my strangled throat. "Why doesn't anybody help me?" He grasped me under my arms. I slumped against him. He helped me gently down to the grass. "I'll help you," he said. "I will."